Hallelujah. Boy, getting to do that little celebration there gave me a little burst of energy this morning. Wow. And it made me think that we are on our 11th year right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to welcome the family of faith, and we thank God that you're here, and we thank God that you're a part this morning, and we just want to celebrate with God and celebrate the goodness that he's doing in the kingdom. Amen. And we're just very thankful that Jesus is Lord, and he's the Lord of our lives. Amen. And so this morning, we're going to join together with God and celebrate. And you know what the Bible says, that when we gather together, he's in the midst of us. Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. How many of you are ready to brag on Jesus? Amen. Woo!
Run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get. Testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what he started. Yes, our God will finish what he started. This is my testimony. Because grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony. Things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
Gotta play.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony.
Come on.
From death to life, 'cause grace wrote my story. I'll testify.
Come on.
By Jesus Christ the righteous, woo! I'm justified. This is my testimony.
Oh, I'm alive.
This is my testimony. From death to life, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony. From death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
goodness. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
God is able to save. make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of troubles rattling.
You awake? I'm an interactive person. Respond. Are you awake?
I hear the sound.
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 To brag on is our God. I shouldn't be here. I was one bullet and a gun away from not being here. Opened up the chamber, didn't see any bullets in it. Well, there were 5 out of 6 chambers that were loaded. I didn't know it. And I loaded that gun, so I knew prior to this that that's why I was so shocked when I opened it up and I slammed it shut and I was so mad. And I pointed that gun to my head. And I shot it. I pulled the trigger. And it didn't go off. 1 out of 6 chances to die that night. And I pointed it toward the door. And I pulled the trigger and it went off. My God, even though I didn't know who he was then, saved me. He saved me for such a time as this. Did I do a bunch of stupid bad things after that?
Yeah.
I did. And he loved me enough to reach down and grab me out. I'm telling you in here. Amen, amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Listen, you don't know how messed up we were unless we really tell you. Because we were one messed up people. Just because you see something today that is 20-some years of God working and moving and transforming and scraping.
Painfully.
Painfully scraping. And I'm still not there yet. He's still scraping. But somebody needs the encouragement today. I don't care what you did. You're here for a purpose and a reason. I don't care if you say, I shouldn't be here today. I shouldn't be here today. In all reality, how did I not shoot myself? It still baffles me today. And if I didn't know who my God was and how good he is and how far he reaches to save his people, I would still be baffled as a sinner, saying, I don't know how that happened. But I know my God reached down. And my God has reached down for you because he's yours too. And he's brought you up. Amen? Amen. So it says that we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. And we're getting ready to sing a song that we've struggled with. So be patient and be merciful to us. Or I've struggled, I probably should say. But there is a line in it that says it doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I grew up, I know you don't believe this, but it's okay. I grew up playing sports. And that's pretty good. And I'm not bragging because that was the old me don't care anymore. I can't do it today. But that was my value. How many trophies could I get? How many accolades from people walking out of the court off the field could I get? How many coaches could I get to come up to me and ask me if I will play for them? Like, that was a value system in me. And I thought without that, because my senior year, at the end of school year, I became ineligible. And I've never really told anybody this, but it's in the past. I was so stupid. But I became ineligible for softball. It was my senior year. It was my fourth varsity year. And my grades just went down. And I got injured really bad. And I couldn't play. And all those people that would come around and talk to me, guess what? Weren't coming around talking to me anymore. And so you talk about a devastating blow when that's where you get your value. How horribly sad is that? I didn't know Jesus then. I wish I did. Because I wouldn't have gone through the years of rejection that I did if I would have known Jesus. Because Jesus don't reject you for anything. It ain't about anything but his love for you. There's nothing I can do more. There's nothing I can do less for him not to love me. Amen? And that's why this song speaks to my heart so much. It reminds a little girl inside of me that you're enough because you're mine. I'm your daddy. Your value is in me and not in anything else. Amen? Amen.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more than I am right now. I'm going through a storm, but I won't fall down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind calling me out. You would cross an ocean. Circumstance, Jireh, you are enough.
is enough, more than enough. Forever in love, always enough, more than enough.
Love.
I will always meet you where you are, but where you are will not always breed the same encounter. The first encounter may look like Peter on the water. The minute you start to sink, I'm reaching out and I'm there for you. But the second time might be like Jonah. You're running, you're stuck in a whale, and you're wondering why I haven't came and picked you up. Because you haven't made the decision to get up and get out of it. So until you make that decision each and every single time, you're gonna feel like you're stuck. I will always meet you everywhere you're at, but it's your choice on how long you wait until I pick you up.
Almost 5 years old. My sister was seven. We were raised by our grandparents. But my entire life, I felt like an orphan. I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. And I ran. And every time I got into another bad relationship, I ran. Because the truth was, I didn't know where I fit. I didn't know where I belong. And while we were singing this song, God told me something. He said, "You were never an orphan. You were never an orphan. You were always my daughter." And I feel like somebody else needs to hear that today. God spoke your name into existence before the foundations of the earth, before he took center stage and said, "Let there be light." There was a you. You existed inside of him. He created all of this for you and for me. You were never, ever an orphan. You were always his child.
Amen.
In this place, the Lord is in this place.
I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. You'd turn my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but this goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. So much power in the blood. Thought I deserved, rolled to be 6 feet beneath the earth. For all the things I've done, the things I said, the choices made that I regret, oh, I would still be lost. And mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. My Savior carried. Now I
Person in here that you called by name. Lord God, nobody comes unto you unless you draw them. So anybody right now that's sitting in here means you drew them to yourself.
Amen.
Because you're a God of love.
Amen.
And mercy and grace. Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord God, for you're worthy.
Amen.
Beyond what we could ever speak out of our mouth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Man,
hallelujah.
The goodness of the Lord.
Jesus.
The hallelujah. Goodness of the Lord is in the house today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can sense his presence and his power and his goodness. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, so we got some announcements going on. We've got May 21st is going to be our first.
22nd.
Yes. 20, that's my fault. Cause,
Sunday, June 5th.
Yes. May 22nd is our first VBS meeting. If you would like to help out with VBS, just meet with Pastor Jared after service. He'll probably have a meeting over in that room after service. And so on June 5th is our Move Up Sunday for kids. I can't believe, like, it's so hard to see these babies that you saw be birthed getting older and older and older. And older. Shut up, Isaiah. Look at him over there all proud of himself for getting bigger. Man. No, we're excited for them. We've got some little people of God here and some big people of God. Amen?
Amen.
These youth and the children, we got some powerful ones. They'll pray over you in a moment of nothing. Like, they are just there. Amen? I saw a video of a baby, and I believe it was Ash's baby. That she was hurt, and that girl was two, and she grabbed that finger and said, Jesus, heal mommy's finger. Amen.
Amen.
Why can't we just be that? Listen, you hurt? But come here. Let me pray for you. Because I know my Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Amen. So
Amen.
We're excited about our kids. We love our kids and our youth.
Yep.
We love you, too, and we're excited about you. So we have Move Up Sunday on the 5th, and we're also going to have, for the children, Donut Sunday that day. So they're
Whoa,
all excited.
Wow.
Not for Logan, for the children, Donut
Amen.
Sunday.
Amen.
He's so wrong. Well, he is a child, so maybe it fits. I don't know. No.
Now, also on Saturday the 21st, Jason Kearns, he's out in the hallway, so you can touch base with him. But on Saturday the 21st at 11 o'clock, we're going to have our first little outreach get-together here for getting ready to go out and minister to the community. So I just want you to come for that meeting.
So is that like this Saturday?
Yeah, the 21st.
This coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 21st at 11 o'clock. So that'll be a good time
Amen.
Together. So you can just touch base with Jason and be out here, and it's going to be good.
Amen. And don't forget that women, we have our women's Bible study / breakfast every first Saturday of the month at 9 o'clock here. If you're interested, I've just had people asking me, you know, when I did the food, can I help, can I help? So if you would like to help with food, please, there's a sign-up sheet out there. You can put your name on it. You will not be responsible for doing it every week or every month. I don't think that's fair. We'll rotate that. And then there is, we're going to get together and paint again. Amen. And that is June 25th at 10 o'clock here at the church. And Marie has put the sign-ups and the what you can paint back there. So if you want to sign up. And I think you should only do it in one spot. So if you did it on Facebook, because in the women's, in the Only Believe Kitten women's group, there is an invitation to that. And then I think I saw it somewhere else too, maybe. So if you've registered there, there's no need to sign that. Register back there, okay? Because they'll count you as twice, and you don't want that. So, or if you do, I don't know how some of you are signed up for two and three. It's good enough for me to get one done with help and guidance the whole way through. Amen. So that's all my announcements. When is the men? You don't have no men's breakfast planned or anything yet? I'm just asking.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome. We do have some other dates coming up, just so you know. We have VBS coming up on the 25th of July. I don't have my thing in front of me. I got you in the right week. Amen. July 24th, we have VBS. Palm starts July 21st. And there is the poster out there. Use your phone on the Q code. If you can't do that, see Philip. Don't come to me, please. I'm old. Not as old, but, you know, sometimes technology and people don't mix. So see Philip. Or like I said, Adam, Isaiah, probably even Zeke. And congratulations, Dr. Murphy. Amen. She got her pharmaceutical, she's a doctor of pharmacy. Amen. She just graduated college. Congratulations. We're excited for you.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I'm done.
You're fine, babe. Okay, at this time, I guess we'll let these children get out of here and get ready for their exciting day this morning. Pastor Jared. Ooh. And Pastor Philip taking those youth out of here. Praise God. And so then we're going to do the offering time, which I'm going to read to you a scripture out of Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow, which has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I want to just tell you this morning that the size of your offering isn't as important as the heart behind your offering. And because we make different wages and stuff, obviously not everybody's going to tithe the same amount, but the power of your tithe has the same power no matter how big or small it is based on your income, because that's how God has arranged the system to work. Amen? And here we see that this widow woman, because of her heart and because of her giving from that place, how it meant so much to Jesus to have this come across than if she had had an abundance and gave a lot, but not as much out of her heart as she did in this particular instance. So we want to make sure that, remember, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And what that means is someone who's giving out of their trust in him, out of their love for him, and out of their trust that he will take care of them and take care of their future. And clearly, this widow woman was putting her life in the Lord's hands and truly trusting him to do something for her and with her. So we want to make sure that this is in our heart and this is how we do our offering and tithing and our giving. And so this morning I'm just going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over the offerings and tithes and offerings this morning, God. And I pray over our heart, Father, that we would be cheerful givers and that we would know inside of ourselves why we're giving and how we're giving, God, and that we'd honor you in all aspects of this. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Mercy, the power of his blood.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we've been kind of talking about the lost and then our part in helping them be recovered from that. And today we're going to look at that just a little bit differently because I'm going to focus in on us and our life and our testimony a little bit because this is critical for us to be able to walk out our salvation and do what we're supposed to do. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then I'm going to read another scripture to go along with that in the book of Matthew 18. In verse 10, it says, "Take heed that you despise not one of those little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of our Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." You know, it's an amazing thought today to remember that we were those lost sheep, that we were lost before we knew the Lord. And that the Lord was so fervent chasing after us that he would go out no matter where we were and no matter what we were doing, and he'd keep on coming our way until we came to him. And so this morning, I want you to realize just how precious a treasure you are to God, that he has searched all this time to make sure that you knew how valuable you are to him, that he would not have one of us be lost. And the Lord, when he gave birth to every one of us, which he did, even though we came through our mother's womb, God was right there because he had already considered who we were before we even came into this world. We need to know the love and the value that God has on us, because as we know, in him going up to heaven, he has left us with the responsibility and the joy of being the light of this world. And we're going to read that in just a few minutes, but I just want to make sure that you understand that the Bible says that a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without the Lord being aware of it. And if a bird cannot fall to its death without God being aware of it, how much more important are you than that sparrow? And how much more are you valued than that bird? And how much is God more aware of your life than what's going on in those things? Amen? And so I really want to encourage you to never feel like you're alone. Because one thing, especially in today's world, one thing that the devil's trying to do is he's trying to isolate people. He's trying to make people feel alone, and he's trying to make people feel less value than what they really have. And I want to make sure that we speak to those things, and we do not allow that to happen to people, especially those around us that we know, because every one of us need to know the value that God has on us and that we cannot afford to think less of ourselves than we ought to. Amen? Now, we don't want to think more of ourselves than we ought. We don't want to get to where we're filled with pride or anything like that. But we should know that God loves us and how much he loves us and how much he wants us to be able to understand his love and how much he wants us to be with him on this journey called life. Amen? Now, we're going to read here in the book of Matthew chapter 5. I want to read something to you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? It means that you as a Christian recognize that you have something that the world doesn't have. That you as a Christian recognize that because Jesus Christ is in your heart, you have something that the world is missing. And you have a light, you have a glow to you that people will start to be aware of and come to and ask you questions about this thing called life. If you are truly living as a Christian, there's going to be something different about you. And there's going to be something recognizable about you that people are going to be interested in, and they're going to come to you for prayer and for help. Listen, if you've ever had someone come up to you and say, hey, I got this situation going on, could you pray for me? That lets you know that your light is shining. That lets you know that you're reflecting Christ. If someone asks you to pray for them, or if someone says, hey, can you get a hold of your church, or can you have someone pray for me or pray over this issue? Let me tell you something. That's because they see something different in you. That's because they're recognizing who you are, and it's time for you to recognize who you are, because how you live, it makes a great difference on how people are going to be impacted in this thing called life. Amen? And I want you to know that that goes for us within our home. How we live, how we interact with our spouse. Are we truly reflecting that we're the salt of the earth? Are we truly reflecting kindness, long-suffering? Are we truly able to show love and caring even in the midst of difficult situations? Because these things are critical if we're going to have our family survive the times in which we're living. These things are critical. We're going to have the nature of God reflected in our life and reflected in everything we do. Listen, it starts with the understanding that heaven stopped and had a party on your behalf when you got saved. And it's hard to realize that, but heaven actually stopped and had a celebration of your salvation. And that lets you know how important you are in this world and how your salvation is so important that God expected you to now have an impact on life because of your salvation. Amen? And he's with you on this journey called life, and how much he's expecting a reflection of who you are to be here for other people. Now we're going to read a parable here. And I'm reading this parable because I want us also to reflect on the fact that I want us to see some things in this parable. And this is the parable of the prodigal son, and it's in Luke chapter 15. And there's quite a few scriptures here with me, so stay with me here as I read this. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? Wow. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, when we read this story, this is a reflection of God and how he is towards us. And I'm telling you that there's going to be times in this life where we fall short. There's going to be times in this life where we're not living to the fullness of our God potential. And when we catch ourselves in that situation, remember to return back to the Lord. Remember that no matter what goes on in your life and no matter what happens and no matter what you're facing, remember to return to the Lord. Because the Lord is going to treat you just like this prodigal's father treated him. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's not going to make you less than what you were. To God, you are who he created you to be. And even after you've had a falling away or you fall short, if the Bible says that, yea, a righteous man may fall seven times, but when he gets back up, he's going to return to who he is in God. Amen? Amen. And I want you to know this morning that God has an expectation that we would return to him. Because even in returning to the Lord, you still have a story to be written. You know, not everybody's going to stay perfect, and there's people that need to hear even about our disappointments and about our struggles. You know, I was thinking about Pastor Regina's testimony this morning when she told you where she was at and what her state of mind was at one time years ago, and it's hard to believe that today. Amen? Hallelujah. Because she doesn't reflect that anymore. Because when she got back up, she left that. And she left that whole thinking of herself in a state of lack to where she wouldn't even have value on her own life. The Lord helped her take that image of her that should have never been her, and he helped her get rid of it. Amen? And so what we got to do is rejoice in the fact that God shows us these things and changes us and that we never have to go back to where we were. Amen? I love the revelation that Sister Marie gave that she said that one day God just spoke to her and said, you never have been that. Amen. Amen? And there are things that sometimes we speak over ourselves and think about ourselves, and just because in the natural we might be something, in the supernatural realm of God, we've never been those things. Amen? Yes. Just like the prodigal son, when he came back, he said, man, if I can just go be a servant in my father's house, if I can just work on the edge of my father's house and be a servant. And when he came back, his father grabbed him and had compassion on him and kissed him and said, hey, you're not going to be a servant in my house. You're my son. And he put clothes back on him and dressed him. And he gave him the same stature that he had before because he was not a servant. He was a son. And so I'm speaking to the church today that if you have ever been in a place where you might have fallen back some, or you might have not been as strong as you once were, I'm telling you that you can return to that place where God will consider you, and you will be, not just considered, you will be and you are the same value and the same person that you've always been. Amen? And God wants you to know that, and he wants to give that to you and let that be who you are. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want you to know something, that the Lord is always merry when we return to him. Amen? He's always excited when we return to him. He's always excited when we let him be the Lord and the God of our life. And when we walk with him, he's always with us. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go to the book of Romans here. And I want to read to you out of the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I want you to know something. Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're no longer under the bondage of anything, and you're no longer under the authority of Satan. You are the liberated children of God. Amen? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be able, that we may be also glorified together. Listen, I want you to understand something. That the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How are you led by the Spirit of God? Just being available to hear his small, quiet voice speak to you. Amen. How are you led by the Spirit of God? Having convictions that won't let you do certain things because you know it's displeasing to God. You're led of God to protect your marriage, for example. You're led of God to be faithful. We're led of God to not let ourselves be open to drunkenness and riotous living and just being out there living any old way we can. Those are convictions that only the Spirit of God can give you and only the Spirit of God can help you keep. We're led of the Lord when we witness to people. We're led of the Lord when we pray. We're led of the Lord when we love those who we love, even when they are not living the way they're supposed to be living. We still keep a heart of compassion for them, and we pray for them when they might not even know how to pray. You know, it's interesting because that's why we're intercessors, just like the Lord. It says that Christ Jesus is in heaven making intercession for us all right now. That's why we have spirit of intercession that comes upon us. Have you ever had the urge to pray for somebody? And maybe you have a child that's not living for God. Even though your child is not living for God, you still pray for them. Why? Because you are led of the Spirit in intercession for them. And when you are led of the Spirit, you know how to honor God in the things that God needs you to honor him in. Amen?
Amen.
And then the other way that we're led by the Spirit of God, and we're going to be studying this over the next few weeks, is we have to read the Word. Amen. Reading the Word helps you be led of God. Why? Because the Word reveals to you what the Lord desires you to do and how the Lord desires you to live. And when you're reading the Word, you will learn how to walk towards God and walk in his ways. Amen? I want you to know something. I'm a very good husband. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, the Bible says that the Bible says that even my Father in heaven spoke those things that weren't as though they were until they became so. Hey, she said it. I am a pretty good husband. Praise God. But listen to this. But what I'm telling you is that when I make that statement, listen, I'm not a good husband on my own strength. I'm not a good husband on my own power. I had to have a touch of God to touch me and change me and help me become who I'm supposed to be as a husband. Amen? And so what I want you to know is being led of the Spirit means that we're open to let God come into these areas that we don't know how to do ourselves, and he will help us, and he'll do his part to help us be what we're supposed to be. Amen? I want you to know that any aspect of your life is going to be better when you let God be a part of it. Some of you might have very good jobs today. Some of you might be looking for a good job. But regardless of where you're at, that job that you have, it's going to be better if you know what the Bible says about how to work your job. The Bible says, I work on my job as unto the Lord. The Bible says, even if I have a mean, froward boss that's mean and hard to deal with, amen. Even if I have a mean boss that's hard to deal with, I work as unto the Lord. And I respect and I honor that boss, and this is how you get blessed, and this is how God can keep you and protect you no matter what your situation is. But I want you to know something, that there is power in God to help you with the job vocations that you're assigned to. Yes. And God will help you be good at it, and he will touch your mind, spirit, and body and help you be able to do what you need to do within a day. Amen? I want you to know that you are anointed. We talked about it last week, that mothers are anointed to be who they are. They have it in them to be who they are. And we have it in us to be who we are in God. Amen? And I want you to know that the Lord is with you. It says that to be led of the Spirit is to become a child of the living God. So your number one identity is that you are a child of the living God. And based upon that identity, you can go to the Lord at any time for any need you have, and God will help you in your situation. And don't ever forget, you know, sometimes in the middle of battles, one of the biggest things that we have to do in the middle of battle is we have to remember that we're no longer our own and that we belong to the Lord. You know, sometimes in the middle of things we got going on in life, sometimes the devil's biggest trick is to make us lose our character and lose our nature in the middle of the battle. Because if he can get you to step back from being Christ-like, then he will start coming towards you on, well, you're not this and you're not that and you're not worthy and you're not deserving. And so we have to make sure that we watch and make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be coming into those situations and be led that way into the devil's darkness by not accepting who we are in Christ, especially in the middle of battles. But the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of thee which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." People, the Lord cannot be your Savior without being the Lord. See, sometimes we want the Savior side of Jesus. We want the side where he comes in and does everything and takes away our sins and cares for us. But we don't like the Lordship side where he sets down some rules and some guidelines that we have to live by. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching you the gospel. And what we have to do is we have to get ready to understand that if he's going to be Savior, he must also be Lord. Because these things I just read off to you, if you're involved in those things, you have got to find a way to get yourself free from those things, because they will see what the Bible says is that people that are involved in this shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we want you to inherit the kingdom of God. And then it gives you some more guidelines. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Wow. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, when it says that you live in the Spirit, that means that you got saved. Amen? And the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5 that when we come into salvation, it says that we literally pass from death into life. Now, what does that mean? That means this, people, that if you're living today and you're not saved, you can never reach your full potential of what God wanted you to be. And that if you're living today and you're not saved, that there are parts of your character and your nature that are not reflective of how God created you to be. Because the Bible says that until we come out of the liberty of salvation, until we get free, it says that we're in bondage and we serve Satan. And so there are some things that you act out in if you're not saved, there are some things that we have all done and been a part of that while we were unsaved, even though we were participating, even though we were participating, those things were not a true reflection of our nature. And sometimes people will say stuff, hey, I've always been angry. Well, that was you before you were saved. Now that you're saved, you're going to be a person of peace. You're going to be a person of love, a person of joy. Hey, I got a hard edge on me. That's just the way I've always been. No, that's a reflection of you before you knew God, but that's not how you were made in the Spirit of God. And so we have to make sure that we're working on these things and that we're not allowing these things to be a part of our nature going forward, because it's not who God has made us to be. Amen. Remember, we're the salt of the earth and we're a light, and our light reflects Christ. Amen. Yes. And as we reflect Christ and he works in us, he can change us into who we are meant to be. Amen. Yes. And that's what he wants to do in our life. Amen. Yes. Praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I tell you what, we're just going to take a few minutes here, and I want you to bow your eyes, close your eyes, because I just want to ask a question. Is there anybody here who can say, Pastor Phil, I'm not saved or I'm not serving the Lord, but I would love to? If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody who says, Pastor Philip, I would love to serve Jesus, but right now I'm not saved. I haven't been walking the life of a Christian. I need to return to Jesus. Anybody here want to say that? I want you to just lift your hands. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, maybe there's someone on live stream that needs to say this morning that they want to be saved. And if that's you out there, I want you to just right now, while you're right there watching, I want you, if that's you and you know you need to be saved and you're not, just say this with me on live stream. Say, Lord, I come to you right now, and I'm in need of a Savior, and I look to you to be my Lord and Savior. I receive Jesus into my heart, and from this day forward, I will live for him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. So we have a couple prayer requests. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we put Haley before you, God. And Father, this condition that she has, Father, Lord, we just speak healing over her right now in the name of Jesus. We loose the healing power of Jesus to move into her, God, and just bring things to peace and stability, Father, and remove all symptoms of this sickness from her, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God, right now, we pray for Tiffany, Father. Lord, we pray for Tiffany over this broken back issue. Ouch. And God, right now, we just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into Tiffany, Father. Lord, we pray that every part of her recovery, God, would be touched by your hand, Father. Lord, everything that doctors do, we pray that you would just put your supernatural touch on it, and Tiffany would come back to being healed stronger and more than they ever thought, Father, and that this back condition would be healed in a way that they see your hand upon it. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I think Judah has a prayer request.
Yeah, I was about to say, Judah wants to come up here and preach with me, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say thank you guys all for being here. God bless you, and I will be up here to meet, greet, or to pray for anybody who needs prayer. Okay? Hey, God bless you. Have a good day.